You know, there's a lot of talk going around these days. In fact, it's been going around for quite some time now. People are just kind of mixed up in their minds and in their hearts about salvation. I mean, we all know what it means to get saved, believe, repent, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So it was told by Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer. But, you know, the problem we seem to have right now is people are believing in great hordes or drones or whatever you want to call them, that you can lose this salvation. You can undo it. Now, can you believe that? I know I'm just appalled that anybody says to me, well, I'll try to keep it if I can. Well, you try all you want, ain't going to do you no good. You see, when Jesus shed his precious blood, it was finished. In fact, those were the last three words he spoke on the cross. It is finished. Which means that your salvation is secure. Now, to undo that, or to try to undo that, is an insult to God and is calling God a liar. Is that what you're doing? Well, I prepared some work here. In fact, I had to break this sermon down into two sermons because of its length. So I would ask that you pay close attention to what's spoken here, because it's going to help you to overcome the situation of doubt that clouds your mind. All right? Now, I call my sermon, Can You Lose Your Salvation? Can you lose your salvation? And this is part one. Oh, please, pay attention. You know, these messages on salvation are absolutely critical for believers and unbelievers alike. The research that has been put into these messages has and can only be given through God's great mercy. I urge you to listen intently to what God has placed in my heart through much prayer and supplication. Let's say a short prayer before we begin and ask for God's blessing upon the message. Lord God, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what's going on out there. You know how that old devil is planting seeds of doubt even in the minds of your own children, Lord. Oh, that not ought to be. For we know, Lord, that Jesus Christ, in obedience to thee, came to this earth, this sin-cursed earth, and he paid the penalty that none of us could pay, save our rotten souls. Oh, Lord, please help people to open their ears and their mind, their heart, to what is said here, Lord, in these two messages. Please give me utterance, Lord God. And when all is said and done, may thou be glorified, and may all doubt be cast aside. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' wonderful name, and for his sake I pray. You know, so many self-righteous people believe wholeheartedly that they are undeniably saved and on their way to heaven. Well, that's great. That's great. There are great pastors out there. There are great missionaries out there. There are great preachers out there. But only a small number are really, believe it or not, saved. Oh, the churches are packed to the rafters, especially these mega churches. But they're not all saved. But yet they're walking around proclaiming that they are. Oh, Lord, why? Why? Because they have not repented and believed totally in the words of our living God. They just went through the motions. Someone led them in a prayer of salvation, and their heart wasn't even in it. They flare up for a little bit, and then they're gone, just like a bonfire. Oh, Lord, this ought not to be. They speak with their lips just what they're told to say. but their hearts remain the same. There's no change. There's no repentance. Nothing. They continue on. They continue on with their regular everyday lifestyle and try to convince others they are a child of the King. Oh, yes, they're a child of the King. They go to bars, they go to nightclubs, they go to movie theaters and continue to drink, smoke, and live their lives outside of salvation. There's no ark of safety there at all. Oh, my, this ought not to be. Now, here's a clue that you are not really saved. Listen carefully. Here's a clue. If you truly belong to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God is living inside you. You got that? He's living inside you, the Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity. The job of that Holy Spirit is to convict you of your sinful ways and also to strengthen you as you fight against the devil. Quite a job. You couldn't do that on your own. Now, if you are truly saved, it's possible to continue living your old ways. Okay? Just because you see someone who's saved walking down here and making a mistake and going here where they shouldn't go or saying something they shouldn't say doesn't mean they're not saved. I'm not saying that. But you will know them by their fruits. If they continue to do that, then you have a pretty good... There's no doubt at all. They're not saved. They're just not saved. You may ask, how do I know if I'm not right? There must be a change. There must be a change. If you're not right, how are you going to know there's a change? Because the Bible tells us that old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You got that? Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's your first clue that you really are saved. You don't have that desire to go in and drink with the boys. You don't have that desire to go and look at those girly flicks. You don't have that desire to talk that kind of language or to hang around with the wrong gang. You don't have that desire anymore. You may have to fight a little bit and need the help of the Holy Spirit, but you don't have that desire. It just disappears. It goes away. Every once in a while, the flesh will act up, and you might think, oh, I got to do this. I just want to go. Oh, I just got to see that one movie. Pray about it. God's waiting. The Holy Spirit's waiting to give you the added strength you need. Now, if we look in Luke 13, the Word of God says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, yes, there has to be repentance. Right? You know, repentance isn't, well, I got to stop this right now. That's it. I've got to stop it. I got to stop it. I got to stop it. No, repentance is having a desire to overcome your sinful condition. You'll never be completely exonerated from your sin as long as you're in that fleshly body. But when the rapture comes and you're taken out of here, you get a new body. And that old sinful body will be changed. The old devil will not have any dominion in any way. If you're not saved because someone tells you so, you are saved because the Word of God says you are. Did you get that? If you're saved because someone tells you so, you are saved because the Word of God says you are. I got a little wrong there in the beginning. Not saved and saved. Anyway, I want to say it one more time so there's no doubt in your mind. You are, pardon me, and this is the exact way it should come out. Lord, give me utterance. You are not saved because someone tells you so. You are saved because the Word of God says you are saved. Have you got that? Have I got it? Oh, yes, I've got it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, yes, all things are become new. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, we read, And this is important. This is how you can really understand if you truly are saved or not. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Now, how do you examine yourself? I mean, well, how does a doctor examine himself? Well, he looks here, he looks there, right? He knows, you know, all the signs that there's something wrong. Well, it's the same way with your soul. You examine your soul and you say, well, let's see, do I still have a desire to want to do that? Do I want to go over there? Do I want to be with them? Do I want to talk like that? Or do I feel, no, I don't think I want to do that anymore? Well, that's how you examine yourself spiritually. And that's what it's all about. The examination done spiritually, a spiritual exam, that's what it is. We call folks who are down and out, we call folks, rather, who are down and out living on the streets, reprobates. Is that kind enough? Oh, that's not kind at all, is it? I'd rather be a reprobate on the street than a reprobate in the eyes of God. You know, because someone lives on the streets doesn't mean they're a reprobate. But according to the eyes of the world, they're reprobates. Oh, that's not fair. We are told to repent and turn from idols. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Ah, yes. Except ye repent, the word of God says, ye shall likewise perish. Likewise perish, yeah? You know what makes my heart shiver? And my eyes just get all watery whenever I deal with a subject like this. There are so many people walking around with their heads in the clouds, but their hearts are on the threshold of hell. Ooh. If they would only wake up and pray without ceasing. You know, a lot of people say a quickie prayer. I figure that's it. I'm not talking about coming to the Lord for salvation. I'm talking about everything, whether it be small things or middle things or big things. You don't just go with a quickie prayer and say, Lord, I don't feel too well today. Please make me feel better and then go about your normal life. No, you have to think on these things. You got to believe on these things. You got to know God is listening. And you got to give him the glory for what he's going to bring your way. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. To put it bluntly, I've had it right up to my chinny hen with people who are smarter than God. You know, a lot of people walking around out there saying, yeah, well, that's what you believe, is it? Well, Tiger, you go ahead and believe what you want. But, you know, the facts are in the book. They're in the book, you know. I mean, all these signs just can't be wrong. You know, and some God that you can't even see, you think he's right, eh? Well, I think I'll stay with the facts. Well, you go ahead, stay with the facts. But here's another fact that you're not staying with until the end comes. And that's the fact that you're going to an eternal hell. Now, put that in your corn cob pipe and smoke it. I don't mean to downplay, you know, what I'm getting at here. This is very serious stuff. But, you know, sometimes you have to step a little bit over the line to get your attention, to hold your attention, you know. Like I said, to put it bluntly, I've had it up to here. With people who are smarter than God, who think they are smarter than God, first of all, and most important, let's check it out. What is salvation? Do you know? Do you really know? Well, before we look at what salvation is, let's have a look a little closer at what salvation is not. Okay? First of all, salvation is not a superficial, euphoric trance one experiences when they acknowledge Jesus Christ as their all-supreme sacrifice, who had to go through overwhelming pain and suffering in order for us to be redeemed from our filthy sins. This is a complete lie, right from the pit of hell. That's what it is, right from the pit of hell. Salvation is not superficial. Salvation is not euphoric. It's not a trance. It's not one of these experiences where you acknowledge Christ as your all-supreme sacrifice, who had to go through overwhelming odds to redeem you from your filthy sins. Salvation is simply trust and believe. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. No strings attached. It's that simple. Let the Holy Spirit do the work inside you. He can and He will. Just pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing, I say. Now, this is a lie right from the pit of hell, that you believe in the euphoric, overwhelming thoughts that come into you. Like, I see people, you know, in some of these megachurches, they stand up, you know, and they got the palms of their hands open toward the ceiling, and they're rocking back and forth, you know, to the music that's being played incessantly over and over and over again, and they go into a complete trance. God didn't say you have to go into a trance to believe me, or rock and roll. All He says was, come unto me, and I will no wise cast you out. It's that simple. That's what it is. It's that simple. Well, you know, for this cause, God sent forth His only begotten Son as a redemptive cleansing power to purify and salvage our filthy souls, that we might partake of the heavenly gift. Eternity, eternity, in the very presence of our holy and righteous Creator. You know, the first thought that comes to my mind is, well, is God so lonely He needed to establish some kind of a fellowship by manifesting the multitudes of pawn-like figurines, better known as human beings? Has this thought ever come to God? Well, do you think so? I don't think so. The answer? Well, first of all, who knows the mind of God? Who knows the mind of God? Do you? I don't. I only know what He's written in His book. You know, and that's all God gives us to go on. That's all we need to go on. Believe. Trust and believe. For there's no other way. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Are we? Do you think we're God's playthings, His toys? Listen, we're made in His likeness. Yes, and for His pleasure, but not to toy with. Consider, if you will, in the very beginning, in the very beginning, in the genesis of time, after He created all that He desired, He looked at it. And what did He say? What did He say? He called it good. He called it good, very good. You see, God can't do anything wrong anyway. He's all righteous, and everything He does, everything He says is good. Everything He does is good. Yes, it is. Now ask yourself, how many of us today does God call good? Huh? You? Me? No. His word says, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not one. Not me, not you. There are none righteous. When sin entered into the garden, all our righteousness became as what? As filthy rags. Filthy rags. There was no righteousness. None left at all. Was this part of God's plan? To have something perfect turn into something just not so good? I don't think so. Would God create that which He knew would become sin and then send Himself in the form of His Son to die an inhumane death in order to have fellowship with us? Would God do this? Would God do this? If such a question bothers you, I can understand. Nevertheless, God's ways are not our ways. You know, the sooner you realize that, the better. God's ways are not our ways. When His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, was hanging on that cross, does the question ever enter your mind, why? Why? What wrong has He done? Why did Jesus Christ have to go through so much pain and suffering and humiliation for something His Father had done? Is God a sadist? Does He enjoy seeing His creation agonize and suffer? Well, you'll find the answer in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, not hated, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus was a propitiation for our sins. He came, He suffered, He bled, and He died, so that we might have our sins forgiven, simply through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some would say He has a strange way of showing His love. With all the suffering in the world today, God didn't say we wouldn't suffer. Again, I say pray without ceasing, pray. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Again, I say God's ways are not your ways. And they're not my ways. They're not anybody's ways, but God's. Okay? The Word is omniscient, which means all-knowing. All-knowing. Only God can be omniscient. Only God knows everything, past, present, and future. Before He created the earth and set man upon it, in His foreknowledge, He knew that sin would enter in. After all, where the devil is, sin is also. Just as it was in the Garden of Eden when Eve disobeyed. God didn't do away with temptation. No, He wanted us to be free to do His will, but to do it willingly. This is why God gave us a choice between good and evil. He could have made us all like robots with no mind of our own. But He chose for us to come to Him of our own free will. You got that? Of our own free will. He didn't want us to come to Him because He made us come to Him. He wanted us to come willingly because that shows our love, our respect for God. He didn't choose for us to come to Him of His own free will. And not because we had to. See, He didn't want us to think we have to come to Him. Oh, well, there's that alternative. If you don't come to Him, you know what's going to happen to you. Hell waits. But that's your choice. Maybe you don't believe in hell. If you don't believe in God, you probably don't believe in hell. This would entail overcoming our great enemy. Who's our great enemy? Well, Satan. That old devil, that's who our great enemy is, the king of confusion. Did God love us? Does God love us? Well, if He didn't love us, He would have omitted altogether John 3:16. As it is, some Bibles take it out anyway. These corrupt versions of the Bible, they take it out anyway. Some only take a portion of it out. You see, that old devil is the author of confusion. God's not. You see, God wants us. He wants us to come to Him freely. And the only way we can do that is by believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do that freely because we want to. Now, if that isn't love, then I don't know what is. Now that we understand who God is and what He did by allowing His only begotten Son to suffer such great pain and humiliation on a cross of wood, atop a heap of garbage, I might add, I ask you the most important question you must be able to answer once again. Would a father put his own son through such agonizing torture in order to save our soul? If such a salvation could be lost or renounced at the drop of a hat, would he? Would he allow his son to go through all that pain and torture, being spat upon, being whipped brutally, being nailed to a cross of wood, having a spear shoved into his side, hanging on that cross, bleeding, shedding his blood for our sins? Would God allow him to suffer such agony? If salvation could be obtained through a different way, and if it could be lost, but the drop of a hat? Come on now. Think about it for a while. Think on that. If it can, then all I can say to you, sir, and to you, madam, all I can say is, you never had your salvation to begin with. You were never born again to begin with, if you think that. When we make a decision to believe and follow Christ, then God gives the third person of the Trinity, that's the Holy Spirit, to each one of us as the down payment for his promise to take us to heaven and give us our inheritance. That's our great inheritance, eternal joy in his presence. We can only be unsaved if we do not have the Holy Spirit. You see, if the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell you, then you are not saved at all. You only think you are. The Holy Spirit is a restraining force against sin. And you'll be troubled if you're truly saved and you go on sinning. You'll be troubled in your mind, in your heart. You'll wonder what's wrong and you'll want to make it right and you'll get on your knees. Having the Holy Spirit means we would have to lose the Spirit to get lost again. Have you got that? Once the Holy Spirit comes in, once you're saved and the Holy Spirit comes in, the only way you can lose your salvation is to kick the Holy Spirit out. He'd have to leave you. He'd have to leave you. But the Bible says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Now, if you kick the Holy Spirit out, then you're not sealed. And if you're not sealed, you're not saved. Are we getting the answers we look for? Are we listening? Are we aware? I pray you are. I pray you are. Now, hear this, please, and hear it well. The Holy Spirit can be quenched or grieved, but not lost. You got that? The Holy Spirit can be quenched or grieved, but not lost. Once he's inside of you, pardon the term, you are stuck with him. He's there to stay. And that's good news. That's real good news. He's not there to make you perfect. He's there to comfort and give you direction. None of us will be perfect until we reach heaven in our new bodies. And then we'll be just like Jesus. Oh, yes. Until that day, our flesh will fight against the Spirit to the point where we are disobedient. But even if we are disobedient, we cannot lose that which Christ died for. If we could, he wouldn't have even gone through it. As long as we are in this flesh, sin will abound. But comfort yourselves, people. Comfort yourselves with the assurance that your soul is already already seated in the heavenlies. And at the resurrection, our bodies will be changed, and sin will have no more dominion over us. No more dominion. But for now, we are still tempted in this flesh. Even as Jesus, although he could not sin, well, he was tempted. Our works may not stand the fiery test of the judgment, but our salvation will. Our salvation will stand all the tests that could come our way. If we are truly saved, there is nothing that can deny us our salvation. Nothing. Something you have to realize is even though salvation is instantaneous, the growing process will continue until we are raptured out. Until we are raptured out. The flesh and the spirit are constantly at odds with each other. And remember, not all church members are saved. Not all church members are saved. You will know them by their fruits. Those who are truly in Christ will eventually manifest this change over time. If we look in 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 2, here's what we read. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, what wonderful news, wonderful news. What a wonderful hope we have. The sad part is that those who are not truly saved, you will eventually fall away to where the devil or where the evil one is waiting to take you to hell with them. That's sad news. There's no need for it to even come close to that. The Bible says you will know them, and I've said this already, you will know them by their fruits. Don't tell me you're saved. Show me you're saved. I've heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm saved. Sure, I got saved. Well, I don't know. I don't see any fruits worthy of salvation. Is that what you're thinking when you hear them say that? Just be sure you're trusting only Jesus and his righteousness to go to heaven. Do you sometimes worry about your salvation? Huh? I think we all do sometime or other. Well, if it's real, if it's really real, let God continue to assure us through his word. That's why we are to get into his word, because his assurance is there. His assurance is reassurance. It's there for us to pick upon, to claim for ourselves. But you can't just get saved and not read the Bible. You got to read his word. That's where our comfort lies. You know, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, what we read is, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. Wow. What a day that will be. You know, the Bible is perfectly clear as to the eternal security of the true believer. Perfectly clear. And also very clear concerning the condemnation of those who reject so great a salvation. In the end, when all is said and done, the bottom line remains. Remains how? The same. If you believe, as the Bible tells you, that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption, then God is waiting to take your hand. However, if you believe you can lose your salvation, then you have rebuked God called him a liar, and the truth is not in you. You will perish in your sins. I underline that. You will perish in your sins. So, tell me, can you lose your salvation? Well, if you do, then guess what? Here's the clincher. You never had it to begin with. You never had it to begin with. And that's the testimony to the life that you have wasted. I'm glad you tuned into this message today, and I pray to God that it will work on your heart and that you will examine yourself, make sure you are truly in the faith. And I ask that you will stay tuned, hopefully by next week. I try to put a message on every weekend, and hopefully by next weekend I'll have part two of this exciting message. And I pray to God that he will urge you to be present for that. Can you lose your salvation? That'll be coming part two next week. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.